want just to talk to you about godly growth, building your own house. It's just so precious. Godly growth 3. I want to conclude on this series. There's much more to say, but I think I'll stop here. And I'm talking about building your house, and especially for those who did, be skillful. To everybody, I'm going to talk to you about how do you build your house. What is a house? How do you build a church? And so many people think that we're full of nonsense and we're fidgety and you know all of that. But the thing is, we must build churches that will stand. Ons moet kerke bou wat staan. In other words, when Jesus comes back, the church must stand. It is so important that we realize this and that we know that as a fact. And so what I want you to realize this morning, God wants us to build. And as I'm going to prove from Scripture that everybody is a builder. Everybody is building something. And I'll prove it to you from Scripture this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, let's just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 11. Die eerste boek aan die Korintiërs vanaf hoofdstuk 3, vanaf vers 5 tot 11. Now let me just give you a little bit of background information about what's happening. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And so in the church in Corinth, there was division. There was sexual immorality. And so the Apostle Paul is grieved, but it was a really gifted church. Because you would also know that this is the letter that Paul writes about this, the gifts of the Spirit and the beautiful love chapter in chapter 13. But now, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 11, Paul writes to them and he says, who then is Paul and who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul says to the church in Corinth, look, you guys, you're going on about who's Paul and Apollos. And some guy says, yeah, I was baptized by Apollos. And another one says, yeah, I was baptized by Paul. And yeah, ek is gedoop deur Adam. Ja, maar ek is gedoop en by die Here gelei deur hom Oppie. Ja, maar ek is deur die Here gelei en gedoop deur Hercules. Ja, en ek is Carlos se disipel. En Paul sê, dit maak nie saak nie. Die Here veroorsaak dat die persoon groei. God gives the increase. One waters, another one plants. And so Paul is moving now from agriculture. Hy is nou eers 'n boer. So Paul is verduidelik nou uit die boerse oogpunt. Hy luister, iemand gooi 'n saaitjie, ander ene gooi water by, maar die Here veroorsaak die groei. En dan half en half sê Paulus, maar elkeen het sy deeltjie wat sy doen, maar nou moet julle vir my mooi hoor, almal bou. En so the Apostle Paul says, take heed how you build. So Paul moves from agriculture to engineering. And so now Paul is talking about engineering principles. And Paul says, everyone is building. Maak nie saak of Oppie jou gedoop het, en of Carlos vir jou gedoop het, en of David vir jou gedoop het, en of Sarah vir jou na die Here toe gelei het. Dis als mooi, maar ek wil jy allemaal bou. En so as allemaal bou, dan sê Paulus baie duidelik, wees versigtig hoe jy bou. En die rede hoekom Paulus sê, wees versigtig hoe jy bou. Paulus sê vir hulle, jy moet versigtig wees hoe jy bou, want hoor hierso, dit wat jy bou gaan getoets word. What you're building is going to be tested. And so the Apostle Paul says, you must take heed and you must be careful. And so it's important for us to see that everybody's building. God is giving the increase. We need to take heed how we build. It's our responsibility to lay the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says it. For no other foundation can anyone then lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, thank you. Can we go to, that first scripture verse. There you are. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants anything nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. You will receive your own reward according to your labor. Everyone. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. The Apostle Paul says he's a wise master builder. His vice. I have laid the foundation and another one builds on that foundation, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, Paul says, guys, your power struggles, it's actually a whole lot of nonsense. Your divisions and who's the boss and who's the most important, you don't understand it. God will come and he will judge your work. And so, if everybody's a builder, we must understand if everybody's a builder and everybody is building a house, what does a house symbolize? But in other words, what symboliseer the house? And scripture teaches us, first of all, house is symbolic of your life. Let's just read Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. That's what the demon said. That's what the demon says. I'll go back to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty. It's beautiful, huh? An empty house. Swept and put in order. So the house is swept. The house is empty. The house is in order. But the house is not filled with Jesus. What did the Apostle Paul say? The foundation is Jesus Christ. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be also with this wicked generation. It's a really scary thing that Jesus is saying here. But Jesus is teaching us that your body is your house. Your relationship is part of who you're building relationship with. It's part of your house. This deal from your house. So it's important that you realize what do you allow into your house? What do you allow into your house? And it's so important to check what comes out of your house. You're building a house. This is your house. So a house is symbolic of your life. House is also symbolic of your family. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4 in the New King James Version says, an elder should be one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. In other words, you must order in your house. Your house where you play. Ons allemaal bou dit ook. So where the first part speaks of your character, you're also building your character. You bou karakter hoor. So daar's klomp demone wat sal wil kom klop en kyk of die karakter staan, of die karakter gebou is op Jesus, soos eerste gesien het. But now it speaks about family, and you're also building your family. You're building your children. You're building with your wife. You're building the relationships in family, and dit moet op Jesus gebaseer is. Christ is the foundation. And then, house is also symbolic of church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, but if I'm delayed, Paul is writing to Timothy, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So, we're also building a church. And that's why it brought me to tears this morning when God said, I will build a house with these people anywhere. Dit kom met my tot by trane gebring. ek het hoor vanoggend die Here sê, hy sal met julle enige plek kerk plant. He's willing to go with you to plant church with him, which is the house of God. Now, it excites me. It brings me to tears. Because we've come to a place where we're in the unity of the faith, and it's not about Carlos, it's not about me, it's Jesus, which is the foundation. So everybody is building. Everybody is building. You're building a house, we're building a church, you're building your character, you're building your relationships, and everything will be tested. It will be tested. And so Jesus says, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, because we just need to check what type of builder are you? Who bou jy? What's a bower is jy? Let's read. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. Can we just go to the next slide? Quickly, I want to show you something. It's important to see when Jesus is talking, that Jesus talks about the house as a foundation. Daar is die fondasie. Jesus says the house has a structure. Daar's pilare. Jesus said the house has a roof, which is the covering. So many Christians out of the vine, or they don't understand covering. They don't understand covering. But it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus says when you're built. That is how your house looks. If it's your character, if it's your career. And for die mens wat gister baby skillful was, jou saak wat jy bou vir wie jy is in die arbeidsmark, like ook so. It's a spiritual thing. It's a natural thing, but it's also a spiritual thing. And so Jesus says, the wise builder builds on the foundation, which is Jesus, the rock. And now there's something interesting that I want you to note if you go to the next slide. The first thing, if you can go to the first, the roof gets tested by the rains. Did you notice it in that scripture? So the rains fell. Die dak word getoets deur die reën. Secondly, the structure gets tested by the winds. Die struktuur van die huis word getoets deur wind. And then the foundation gets tested by the floods. Now, can we just go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27? Then we will just read. You have that picture in your mind? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Great was the fall. Being a wise builder with Jesus Christ is what sets us apart. So, the roof gets tested by the rains. The structure gets tested by the wind. The foundation gets tested by the flood. So, how do I build this house? And who's like to come in by be skillful? Julle almal is besig om aan julle loopbane te bou. So, hoe gaan hierdie bouery by my loopbaan inpas? Carlos, het ek geld nodig om my loopbaan te bou? Nee, aan die begin nie. Carlos, do I need money to build my career? No, you don't need money at first. I'll prove it to you from scripture this morning. So Carlos, how are we going to do this? You must first realize who's the boss. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So if God is not the Lord of your career, I can tell you, there's people with beautiful careers that they've built. God's not part of it, but it will be tested. And it's like the beer advert say, it's the taste that stood the test of time. It's the same thing. There's so many things Jesus will test and it won't stand. It's just logical. You understand what I'm saying? This logis. Everything will be tested. In this life, it will be tested. But God will also judge our work in the next life. And so, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And it's something scary about building. If you built and Jesus is not part of the building, you can pray, but he's not there. You can be a watchman. Jy kan maar bid. As hy weggeloop het, bid jy vir niks. Jy bid in die dak. Dis wat die skrif sê. Want God moet bou, daar kan jy bid, daar sal hy beskerm. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Another beautiful scripture, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, Petros, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus says he will build his church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know, it's really important. We can't be arrogant in thinking we're doing God a favor by building him a church. The least that we can do is say, God, we want to help you to build your church. Jesus bows again. So many people are out of the vine order thinking that they're building Jesus a church. We're not building the church. Ek bou nie God se kerkie. Jesus het gesê, ek sal my kerk bou. Julle help vir my. Maar dis baie gevaarlik, Carlos, wanneer jy dink jy bou die kerk. En ek staan daar buite. And you take your executive decisions, but I'm not part of your executive decisions. Carlos, I want you to note this. And it's something that I had to learn really quickly in ministry. It's not my church. It's Jesus' church. He's building his church. And unless he's not building it, those who labor, they labor in vain. But also important, in verse 11 of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, for no other foundation can one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we must build according to the pattern of our lives, the pattern that Jesus has for our lives. There's a pattern that God has for your life. And you must seek that pattern, how you need to build. Are you with me this morning? So the first thing when you're building, we all agree that everyone is building. We all agree that we're building our characters, we're building our careers, we're building our homes. Some of us will still get married. We're building our relationships. We're building God a church. So ons bou op alle vlakke. Ons kan nie daarvan af weghardloop nie. So we're all building, we agree on that. We agree that there's wise and there's foolish builders. We agree that our work will be tested in this life. By the rains, by the winds, by the floods. And also the day when Jesus comes. And so we agree that if I'm going to start building, I need to realize that God is the master builder. God is the one that builds. Secondly, what are the materials that I need to build? The first thing that you need a vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Vision is something seen visually or perceived mentally, something gazed at or something contemplated. And so, vision is the thing that will motivate you. Now, can I just say something about vision? Vision is not from your father, it's not from your book, it's not from your brother, it's not from the church. Vision is from God. You only get vision from God. Or you get vision from another source. You only get vision from God. God will speak vision to you through a dream. God will speak vision to you through a prophet. God will speak vision to you through scripture. God will speak vision to you by saying something within your heart. And you know what you need to do. I want you to be a music teacher. I want you to go study. I want you to be this. I want you to do that. I want you to start your own business. But it's a vision from God. You need a vision. If you don't have vision, there's anarchy, because the vision will motivate you. The vision will give you direction where you need to go. And the vision is God's given goal for your life. If you don't have that vision, where are you going? As jy nie daai visie het, waar is jou pad? Hoekom staan jy op? It's the same thing when David stood before Goliath. When David stood there, David knew where he was going. And so all the Israelites, they were really scared. But can you recall what David said to all the Israelites? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? David had a vision. David had a vision and David said, is there not a cause? Then you need clarity of this vision. I will stand on my watch and set myself on the tower and I will watch to see what you will say to me. That is what God will say to the prophet. And what shall I answer when I am reproved? And Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, that he who reads it may run. For the vision is still for an appointed time, but it speaks to the end and it does not lie. You see, God's vision does not lie. So if God has told you something, what you need to become, God will not lie. You will walk away from your vision. I will walk away from my vision. But God will never walk away from the vision that he has for you. The vision will not lie. Sien julle daar? Waans is nou? Waanie, ons is, yes, so ek beweeg vanoggend, waanie. Verse 3. For the vision still appointed time, but it speaks to the end and it does not lie. Though it lingers, wait for it, because it will surely come. Ek wil julle allemaal sê, julle mense wat by skillful is en die wat nog bou, ons allemaal bou nog, ek bou ook nog, dit gaan kom. God lê. Hy gaan nie droppie. It will come. And so there's a few things that you notice that you must listen to what God says. Then you must answer. Then you must write. And you must make the vision simple so that you can understand the vision. The church's vision. To reach nations and generations. Through disciple making, leadership development, church planting. The vision is simple. The vision is plain. If you read the vision, you understand it. So many people, they come to me with plans. Especially so many young people. There's older people also. Then they have this plan and they have that plan. And then I tell them, okay, write it down during the week. Then you come and show me the plan. Because it's scriptural to write the vision down. Write your plan down. And then you bring it to me. If you don't write the plan on paper, it's still an idea. But if you put it on paper, it becomes a vision that you can follow. So baie van hulle kom maar nie vir die tweede vergadering nie. They don't come for the second meeting. I'm serious. And then I just wait 2 months and they come again with another plan. And then I just say the same thing. Okay, write it down. Then we'll run with a vision. And then they don't come for that meeting also. And then sometimes I have to tell people, look, this not you. Who feels the plan now? So who are you fooling here? You've had so many plans. Who are you fooling here? We need to write the vision down. It's not just ideas. It will not tarry. It will accomplish. God will not lie. It will happen. And it must be simple. You see, God speaks simple things. I've learned that from God. It's deep, profound things, but he speaks it plainly. I mean, when God says, be still and know that I'm God, what's difficult about it? Be still? You with me? God speaks simple things, but it's really profound when you ponder on it. God, the best philosophical reasoner there ever was, says, come and let us reason. And so there's a mystery part about God that we will never understand. Even when we spoke about death, or if we speak about death, there's some things we will never understand why God allows it. There's a mysterious part about it. And he's holy and righteous, but that doesn't mean that his vision for your life will not be accomplished. It will be. And so you can be in a difficult place. You can be challenged. You can feel down. You can even be depressed. But that doesn't mean God has left you. You can be all four of those things at one time, but then God is still with you. We don't think like that. We don't feel like that, but that is like that. Sometimes things just happen so fast to me, and I think, God, have you left me? And then God says, no, I'm near you. And in the midst of that, then I get blessed also. So now I'm confused. God blessing me, but all hell is coming against me. I feel so depressed. I feel so down. But there's still a blessing coming. So is God playing a game? Then God tells me, no, it's life. Life happens. It happens to all of us. It happens to the best of us. And we don't understand it. But what I want you to know is that God's vision for your life, it will be accomplished. Even in the midst of what trouble, God will not lie. He will never drop you, leave you, or forsake you. Don't walk away. You don't walk away from God. God will stand there in the midst of all your yell. And it's beautiful. You need vision. You need clarity of vision. Then you need to call the vision into being. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God, the writer talking about the Abraham. In the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Hoor jy daar? God roep goedjies wat nie bestaan nie asof hulle bestaan na die lewe toe. Let's just read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 and 7. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. There was nothing, and so God said, let there be light. God saw light. He called it powerful. Huh? There was no moon. There was no stars. God says, let there be lights for the night. There was light. Powerful. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. So by faith, Noah did it. By grace, God calls, and by faith, you respond. And it's something that I want you to grasp this morning. I cannot help you with this. You must have the faith to call your dreams into being on your knees. You must have the faith to call the things in which God showed you. Ek kan dit vir jou doen nie, niemand kan dit vir jou doen nie. Jy gaan deur die genade wat die Here om jou geroep het, gaan jy hom op daai genade moet reageer en jy gaan hy goed op jou knie moet inroep. Ek kan nie. Jy moet dit sien asof dit daar is, and it's a really difficult thing for so many Christians to understand, but you do it by faith. You must do it by faith. And guys, you must have the faith to sustain your calling. You must have the faith to sustain your calling. So many people expect me to pray for them thinking things will change. I do pray. I do stand in faith with you. But did you stand in faith for that thing in the inner room? You must have the faith to sustain your calling. Jy moet die geloof het om te staan vir dit wat God vir jou gewys het. You must have that faith. That's the way God works. You must call it into being. God has just been teaching me now in prayer, standing in things for faith, and just asking God, God, you provide, you know. So now I'm speaking with businessmen all, and I'm walking around our church building. You know, I'm laying hands of it, and people think, I'm talking to the building in the name of Jesus. You will be the debtor. And so people think, oh, he's mug, you know. But I have faith. I pray for the things God showed me. Other people may think I'm crazy, but I believe in what I've said and what I've seen. So I'm praying. And so I'm speaking to a Christian businessman, and he's smiling. Because I know why he smiles. He's a farmer. So he must pray for his crops. Ek weet, as hierdie nie kom en daar nie, en al wat hy kan staan, hy moet met die wingerd gaan praat. Jy gaan groei, in die naam van Jesus. Dit gaan reën, he must do it. Die bank gaan hom nie jammer kry nie. Ek is eerlik, die bank kry die boere in hierdie land nie jammer nie. they must stand in faith. And so Angus says something that really, really strikes me. He doesn't know how you can be a farmer without knowing Jesus. I don't know how you get that right, really. And when it comes to our children, we must stand in faith now for our children, for the things that they're going through. And we must start teaching our children, look, your boot. You must start calling those things in. I can't help you with that, but I'm trusting God to show you. You call it into being. How much do you need? Well, I can give three. The rest of the seven you need to stand in faith with. It's just teaching them, but also responsibility from our side as parents. We need to give what we can give to our children. We must be honest with them. Look here, we're going to give this thing to you. Don't worry. There's some things that we don't burden our children with. We must have wisdom. They don't even know, have to know what we do for them. And please don't play that card. Please don't play that card. Ek werk in die huis en ons doen en julle sal maak soos ek sê. Hoor julle vir my? Ek het vir die couch betaal en ek betaal vir die dak en hier maak ek en jy soos jou ma sê. Maar we don't play that card. Our children's worth are not connected to what we pay for them for anything. There's certain stuff that my children will never know what I need to struggle for them with on my knees. They will never need to know it. But as long as I can call it into being for them, saying, God, I'm trusting you for this for Caroline, I'm trusting you for this. She doesn't have to know it. When the right time, the appointed time comes, I'll tell her, this is the way I walked with God. And this is what I wrote it down. I prayed for you for this. It happened. We serve a living God. And I'll show it to you when the time comes. But for now, I'm standing in faith for her. And so that is what we need to stand in faith. Call it into being. Then building the vision. So now, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled. Nokada. With all precious and pleasant riches. Kan enig iemand vir my sê of hulle daar sê, deur geld word huis gebou. Daar word niks van geld gepraat. God doesn't mention money there. You don't build a house with money. It doesn't start off by building it. It starts with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And I'll end off with this. I just read also the Amplified Version. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family are being built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge, shall his chamber be of every area be filled with the precious and pleasant riches. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? So the first thing is knowledge. Knowledge is the obtainment of facts. You must get the knowledge. What do I need to make this vision work? Jy moet al die kennis gaan opdoen. Maar Salomo praat hier van kennis wat ek het, hou ek het nou net in my sakkie. Dis 'n kennis wat ek saam met my vat, wat my lewe verander. It's a knowledge that I need to change my whole life. It's a knowledge that results in a conviction. Die kennis wat ek opdoen, oortuig my so dat dit is die manier hoe ek het moet doen. In the application of my family values, that is the knowledge. The second one is wisdom. How are you going to apply the facts? Wysheid. Die kennis wat jy opgedoen het, hoe gaan jy daai kennis wat jy opgedoen het met wysheid toepas? Wisdom. Wisdom. And then the third one is understanding. That is the explanation of the facts. That wisdom, that skillful living. You work hard and you work smart. And then the understanding. Understanding, it means responding to life circumstances with insight. Having a perspective that looks life through God's eyes. You have an understanding of how you need to do this thing. then, only then, the money will come. I'll tell you why. And I'm going to say something that a lot of people will not understand. Money always follows a vision. As soon as your vision starts following money, you're opening yourself up for deception and for demonic attacks. You must first get the vision. You must first get the knowledge. You must first get the wisdom. And then you must have the understanding. And then you must say, God, you open our doors. I have this. God, you have spoken this to me. God, I'm running with this. So, God, please help me in getting the finances ready. And then God will open doors and God will say, okay, I want you to take out a study loan. I'll open a door for you. It's not possible for you to have a study loan. But I'll open a door for you so that you can have a study loan. Or wait, I'll open a door for you at this place and I want you to go work at that place. And when you work at that place, they will pay for your studies. Or wait, there's bursaries. But you can't go to God visionless. He won't run with you. And then the other difficult thing that people don't understand, sacrifice. When it comes to a godly vision, you must sacrifice so many things. I'll tell you what, I was a qualified teacher. I made burgers at McDonald's. I was a qualified teacher. I sold memberships at the gym. I've worked in Shoprite, the aisle where all the toys were. You know who my boss was? Karen, you remember Karen? That was Karen. Karen was the one that told me, Carlos, you must do this. I served her. You can ask her. If there's one thing in my life that I've got right, I know how to serve. I may not be the most eloquent, the most charismatic or whatever, but I know how to serve other people's visions. If it wasn't in die land, the problem is to feel baase. Waar handjies gevou wil staan en nie hulle hande wil vuil kry. No, it's a problem. It's a huge problem. I was talking to my brother. He's working for the municipality and so he's a manager. He came from Saldanha Steel where he was a water purifier. Now he's working in the water department. And you know what? A pipe broke, and so they were busy with this pipe in this man's yard there to pick up the man's grass from the morning, 8 o'clock till 6 o'clock, the evening. So, evening came, another pipe broke. Crisis time. So now he's standing there with his team. It's a Friday evening. So now they have to work through the night because it's a crisis. Do you know the team that worked with him? They said, we'll work with you. You know why? He jumped with them into that hole. As jy sê ons in die government, daar staan een en so, en dan moet al die ander ons, hulle so vrek werk, en hulle, it's wrong, you get your hands dirty, you work, you carry with, although you manage, you work hard, and you work smart. God doesn't hate people, God hates laziness, I can tell you that right out. You must move, and you must be honest in the way you move. God hou van werk. God worked 6 days, 7 days, he had a Sabbath. But you know what? He works. And so it's really important that we need to understand this. There's so many things in my life that I did. Weet julle wat? Ek het by a jean fabriek ook gewerk, waar ek knoop in stads aan gesit het. 5,000 jeans per dag. Staan achter my sien. Ek trap heel dag. 5,000 jeans. Ek het dit ook gedoen. I worked at the CD department at OK Stores. I also worked there. En toe het ek toiletmatte en weet die wat nog verkoop as a sideline besigheid en ek het dit ook al verkoop. But through all that, God has guided me. I just said, God, that is what I want to do. I don't know how am I going to do this, but God, you must show me. And so in every place, God opened a door because I was on the move. I had the vision. And so the day when I walked in here at this college to do my HDE diploma in teaching, God provided me with a bursary. My parents didn't pay 1 cent for my studies. Hulle het 1 cent betaal daarvoor. You know what? The previous year I was at UWC. Maar toen ik moest die Kevin Klaver das achtergekomen. En ik had nooit bij mijn klasse uitgekomen waar ik 25.000 van mijn malen gemorst het. Toen moest ik gaan zitten bij de huis en dank, Here, hoe gaan we die ding doen? But I came back and said, God, I don't know what I want to do. I'm just sensing this teaching thing is the thing. And that time I wasn't even saved. And I said, God, but I'm coming. And so that, to open up a way for me, I was the last student to be registered. It was the 5th of February, the 7th of February. I had to go to Cape Town for an interview with the inspector. So he had to interview me. What did they call it? Oral, huh? An oral interview. And he spoke to me. And I got in. And I just trusted the God for the bursary. So I got the bursary for 4 years. And so the only thing the government said that time was, I must work 4 years for the state. Then my bursary is paid. So I worked 2000. Now just check out this. Started working 99. Started working 2000. 2004, I got saved. 3 years later, I walk into the ministry. Bursary's paid off. Got an education. So now I'm moving again. Next year, I have to study again. Doing my M. My master's in theology. But it's a door God opened, and I'm moving with it. And so it won't be a financial burden for me. I don't know, but I'm sensing it's something that God opened. So I'm trusting God opening doors for me to study further and to go. But I must call it into being. It's my vision. And I must go. In other words, my family must understand that for every week, the first of every quarter for a week, I have to sleep in Stellenbosch. So it's a sacrifice that I and they need to make. For a week, I can't be the ISVC, but I need to make the sacrifice. Me and my wife, we need to talk. And wanneer my vrouse tyd kom, en ek alleen wie na die kinders moet kyk, wanneer sy vir 4 dae die huis het wees, dan moet ek het vaar toelaat. It's a sacrifice. We must call the things in. And we must really move and push through. And so I really want to encourage you. God gives vision. Can we go again to that scripture? In Habakkuk chapter 2. I want to read it again. And I'll end off this morning with that. And if the thing that you want to do, if there's no door open for you, there, now, do something else. Moenie net wag vir dit nie. Dit moet dit wees, dit moet dit wees, dit moet dit wees, en dit doen jy niks nie. Jy doen enig iets anders. Jy hou vir jou besig. Nie net vir die syk om vir jou besig te hou nie, but you're busy working towards that point. Jy is besig om na 'n punt toe te beweeg. You know where you're going, you know what the vision is. I will stand on my watch and set myself on the tower, and I will watch to see what ye will say to me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablet, that he who reads it may run. For the vision is still for a point of time, but it speaks to the end, and it does not lie. Though it lingers, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will come. If it's of God, it will come. If it's of God, it will come. If it's of God, it will come. Maar as jy besig is met iets nou en het werk jy uit, you drop it. Are you with me? If you really feel God is saying, stick through with it, then stick through with it. But if God is just wanting to take you another way, then just go another way, still to your dream. But you need to be open. Are you with me? I'm not saying what anybody's doing now is wrong. I'm just saying being open, write your vision down, make it simple, and then you run with it. But God will not drop you. Are you with me? And if you sold out to do it the way you do it, then do it. Even if it's hard, difficult, you stick through. You stick with what you've heard in your spirit. You open yourselves up for the older people and you talk to people and you get wisdom and you talk to them. You see, that's again, you must get the wisdom. You must get the knowledge. You must get the understanding. You must get that. So many people, they run after the money. Derek Prince says something very powerful. Our greatest test will be success, not failure. When you're successful, then you must see how the demons will come for you. When you have all the money, then you will see how the demons will come for you. Success is the most difficult test. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you will stir our spirits, God, in every person being part of your vision and the plan that you've laid out for this church and for every young working person and for every student in this building this morning, God, you've laid a path. God, you've called them. God, there's a difference between our calling and our jobs. It's a difference we call between a vocation and a calling. But God, the most important thing is that through everything that we do, we must serve the purposes of Christ. Christ the glory, Christ the hope in us. God, and as that young man correctly said this morning, you cannot be a Christian and have no hope. You must be a Christian with hope. God, breathe your hope into your children this morning. God, I'm praying that you will teach us, show us how a vision is being built, how a house is being built with the wisdom, with the understanding, with the knowledge. Because that is what we need, and that is how we need to build our houses. Godly wisdom. And thank you, Lord. I pray now that you will impart wisdom, that you will impart knowledge. Through your Spirit, you will do it supernaturally, that you will impart understanding so that we may know, like the sons of Issachar, that an understanding of the times, that we will always have an understanding of the times and what you want to do. Thank you that we can always run with your vision, God. In Jesus' name. As we keep our eyes closed, if you have this vision in your heart and you want the thing to grow and you want me to pray for you, I want you to come down. I want you just to come down. Marcel, jy kan slank van die CD kaf net vir ons 'n musiekie daar speel. I want to open it up to everybody. You can have coffee there at the back. But if you have this thing, I'm just trusting God to do something for you. If you have this vision, if you want to run with it, and if you want to do it, I will pray for you for this. You just come down, I'll pray with you. I'm trusting God to do something so supernaturally into each and every one of our members' lives. So I don't want you to be scared. I want you to come. I want you to come. If you're really sensing God just prompting your heart, let's just do it. Let's just do this. Let's just do this. It's so wonderful. I'm trusting God for the wisdom and the impartation of everything, and the knowledge. Give it. If you're busy, and it's always plans. Always plans. Short-term planning, long-term planning. There's so much to say about planning. Beplanning en al die goed. Daar is soveel goed wat ons daar oor kan preek. Vir nou vertrou ek net die Here vir die wysheid, vir die kennis en vir die understanding. Dis waarvoor ek die Here vertrou om nou net meedeling te doen. Just to impart it into people's lives. And you need to take yourself seriously in the way God has called you. And open yourself up to receive. Father, there's so many people, your God. They've heard you spoken to them. Here, hulle het gehoor u praat met hulle in u hart. Met hulle gepraat in hulle harte. You've spoken to them within their hearts. They've heard the call. But God, some of them, they've never written it down. It's just an idea in their minds. And these ideas are driving them crazy. And God, they're waiting for open doors, but God, you want to open the door if they know how they're going to go about. And God, I pray for your godly wisdom. God, I pray that they will acquire the knowledge that they will need for this vision. And God, as they acquire the knowledge, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give them understanding. And Lord, let them know how to apply the knowledge. And Father, I pray now for a release of your Spirit's wisdom, Lord. I pray for a release of this vision into your church and to people's lives, that they may know where they need to go, what they need to do. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for a release after this vision, the finances that will follow their visions. I pray that you will release that, God. God, I pray that their ears will be open to hear when you say, phone these people, go there, work there. Father, most important, I pray that you will settle the sacrifice within their heart, what they need to give up to follow that voice which called them, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that they will set out realistic goals, realistische doelwitte, vir die eerste jaar. En het wordt goed. God, I pray that they will do, they won't have goals that's not realistic for them. I pray just realistic stepping stones in their lives as they grow. Father, I pray for endurance. I sense that some of them are so tired, God, and they don't know. I pray for your endurance that you will keep up and that they will keep on going. Father, I pray that through the sermon, that one thing will just stand them out and that they will know the Lord Jesus Christ called me. And God, that they will run with that. And Father, I pray for their protection, God. Lord, even at this time, the 31st of October, Halloween and everything, there's such an attack on everybody and everybody's vision. Such an attack on our children, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will give your angels charge to protect the visions, to protect the families, to protect the children, Lord. You protect them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those that are out of divine order, that they will be in order. That they will understand that the roof needs covering. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you're releasing that now in Jesus' name. That you're releasing your spirit, God, to touch people and it will change their life irrevocably forever, God. They will never stay the same again after today, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, not by might, but by your spirit. By your spirit. God, I pray that you will teach us in these turbulent times, busy, busy times, how we must work hard and smart. God, I'm especially praying for families where father and mother are so busy. I pray that they will get, that they will connect. God, I pray for honesty in marriages, where we will sit and talk to each other in honesty. Waar ons vir by mekaar sal lewe en hoe ja, ons gesels, maar ons gesels oor dit wat saak maak. Ons moet begin gesels oor wat in ons hart aangaan. En Here, ek kom bid dat U vir ons sal leer hoe om dit te doen. Laat ons kan sê wat vir ons pla. Oh God, this blatant attack on our children. Father, we repent for being asleep. God, we want to be a watchman. We want to be a watchman on the wall. And we pray and thank you that you're building as us. Thank you for the beautiful promise that you've given us as a church, that you will plant church with us anywhere. Thank you, God. It's such a beautiful promise. I thank you for your release in everyone's heart standing here in front. And everyone standing there at the back. I thank you for the release. Here ek kom bid nou specifiek ook vir kinders wie se papas sien hulle glo nie en papas wat vir hulle kinders sê my kind ek glo in jou en Here kom praat u met daai kinders, lig hulle op en laat daai kinders begin te hardloop. Ek ervaar net hier's jong manne en dames wat so graag wil hê hulle pa moet sê my kind ek glo in jou. Ek wil net vir jou vanoggend sê die Here glo in jou en hy glo in jou drome. En alhoewel jou familie jou ten sterkste verwerp, wil ek net vir jou sê, God verwerp jou nie. Hy sal het laat waar word vir jou. I thank you God that you're just confirming this. God, I thank you that you will confirm next year's be skillful. That you will just confirm through the year with the signs and wonders how everything is happening, Lord. And we will just have testimony after testimony as God is just releasing his powerful spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Colin and the band, can we have a song? I want to thank you for standing here. We're just going to sing one more song. And then Colin can end off for us. Please. And I thank you. I honor you for just coming and just trusting God. Jy het nou gesien die logistieke probleempie, want is hier gehad het, maar die Here worry nie oor logistieke probleempies. Jy weet, I'm just trusting God. Because you know what, guys? This is beyond us. I want to say that again, it's beyond us. Dis iets wat die Here bo natuurlik moet doen. Ons moet natuurlik ons deeltjie bydra. Ons moet natuurlik ons deel bydra. Maar die ding is groter as ons. And God always calls a vision that's bigger than you. Die visions altyd sê, ooh, hoe gaat ek dit recht kry? The vision And the vision is never comfortable. The vision is never comfortable. Dit gaan nie oor jou en jou gemaksone en hoe lekker en hoe maklik dit is nie. It's never about that. It's about growing in Christ and growing in His knowledge. And then people will start seeing the glory in you as you grow. The glory of Christ, the hope of Christ in us. Let's just worship God. Colin, daar kan jy vir ons afsluit.